Let us pray. Lord, as we come to look at your teaching this morning, may we have ears to hear, minds to understand, and a desire to act upon it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So a man walks into a pub and goes up to the bar, takes off his hat and places it on the top. He orders his drink and he's enjoying his pipe when the landlord dogs jumps up and takes the man's hat and begins to chew it. The man retrieves his now tattered hat and says to the landlord, "Just look what your dog's done to my hat." "Yes," said the landlord, "he is a bit playful, isn't he?" "Playful," the man responded angrily. "Just look, he's ruined my hat. What are you going to do about it?" The landlord said, "This is the kind of things dogs do. Anyway, it's your own fault. You should really have not left it on the bar." Infuriated, the man replied, "I don't like your attitude." "Oh," said the landlord, "it wasn't my attitude. It was yours." Well, the sermon this morning is about attitude. In fact, what are called the B attitudes. As we consider in our E100 series this morning, the teaching of Jesus. Last week, we moved from reading the Old Testament to the New and looked at the coming of Jesus as described in John chapter 1. And I hope you'll see how the Old Testament and its prophecies anticipate the new, and how the coming of Jesus fulfills the old and builds on from it in his teaching. Jesus was a great teacher, and his actions spoke as loud, if not louder, than his words. And he used a variety of teaching methods, using parables. He observed the world around him and used them as examples to give people understanding about God and his kingdom. So he told stories about sheep and yeast and bread and losing and finding things. His style of teaching and what he was doing was fresh, attractive and life-giving, and crowds began to follow. We heard this morning David read part of Jesus' teaching known as his Sermon on the Mount, which covers chapters 5, 6 and 7. But we're going to consider the bit known as the Beatitudes. Matthew has this at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, and it's on page 968, if you'd like to turn to the passage. Jesus, we discover, in the latter part of chapter 4, was ministering around Galilee, teaching, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, healing. And news about him was spreading. And chapter 4 ends, large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. And then chapter 5, verse 1. "Now when Jesus saw the crowds," it's the crowds which move him to go up the mountain, where his close disciples join him. And Matthew tells us he sat down, the position of a teacher in those times. So it is to his disciples he gives his teaching. And so it follows. It's for us too, as Christians. And so Jesus gives what we know as the Beatitudes, so called because of the 9 blessed statements. The word beatitude means blessed, or literally happy. And it has that in some translations of the Bible. So Jesus begins his sermon by defining happiness. And that sounds great because people want happiness, don't they? I wonder if it was what Jesus saw in the crowd that prompted what he was first to teach. This crowd made up of people from different places, a kind of microcosm of the world, coming with their burdens and worries, in need of healing and another way of living. We know in our own day there's a longing to find happiness, And it's so often believed to be found in success and in having wealth. But of course, there are plenty of achieved fame and wealth and are still searching to find happiness. So what does Jesus say? Happy are the poor, the sad, the meek, those who hunger and thirst, the merciful, the persecuted. What on earth was Jesus thinking? For surely happiness is to do with achieving, being well fed and feeling good. How are we to understand this teaching about happiness? Perhaps it would be helpful to our understanding if we were to read them, as it were, back the front. So the kingdom of heaven is available for those who recognize their need for God and recognize the needs of others. The way to consolation and comfort is through genuine sorrow. There is nothing wrong with us expressing our emotions, recognizing our own and that of others, and responding to it. The meek, Jesus says, will inherit the earth. An inheritance is not earned or achieved, but is, of course, pure gift. That is what God offers those who live in utter trusting dependence on him for everything. To be filled, we need to hunger and thirst for righteousness. The blessed are those who are prepared to stay empty and dissatisfied for the sake of a better world. And this is about having a longing and having a hunger for justice in a world where so many go without and life and its resources are not fairly shared. And the promise is that such hunger will be blessed and satisfied. The way to mercy is through being merciful. Sadly, too often, we're not merciful but judgmental. And that too often puts up barriers. As God in his love has shown mercy to us, we are called to express it to others. The way to God is through an open, pure heart. Didn't we just sing, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see their God"? For this to become a reality for us, we must learn to be still and quiet in God's presence and to fix our eyes upon him and accept his love and seek his forgiveness for all that we see in ourselves that spoils our lives and our relationship with him. With David, we can pray, "Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." Children of God are to be peacemakers. We're to be those prepared to seek to be reconciled or enable others to be reconciled. There's no peacemaking without facing what keeps us apart from one another. It is an active thing. The blessing that follows is a reminder that when we truly seek to live out the good news, we may face opposition and possibly persecution as we seek to see right done. And the final beatitude reminds us, though we may suffer, there is true reward. And so Jesus encourages us to rejoice and be glad, for we are in good company with the prophets who went before us. The Beatitudes of Jesus turn the world's view of happiness on its head. For our happiness does not depend on the possession of material things, a new car, a bigger home, or greater income to give us the means to satisfy all our desires. These things, of course, bring us joy for a while, and God is no killjoy and wants us to enjoy the fruits of his creation. But these things do not guarantee happiness. Rather, lasting happiness is found not in external things, but in lives that put God and others at the centre. And when we do, we taste a little bit of the kingdom of God here on earth. Jesus' opening of his Sermon on the Mount in the Beatitudes is a challenge to us as Christians to a radical way of living and behaving. And so in verses 13 to 16, Jesus says what this should mean for us. We are called to be salt and light. Salt has various uses, but particularly at the time of Jesus, as well as giving flavour, was used because there was no refrigeration for preserving food. It has positive qualities. But salt is no good left in the salt cellar. It needs shaking out. We are to be out in the world, active in the community, living out those beautiful attitudes, the Beatitudes, and pointing people to Jesus, comforting those who grieve for whatever reason, showing mercy, actively being peacemakers, challenging corruption, and working for justice. I read an example of this in the Essex Standard last week, which carried a picture of Bishop Roger on the front page, who spoke at the AGM of the Colchester Food Bank, and while praising its work, said it was a scandal, it was necessary, and challenged the government to review its policy on the changes made to the benefit system, which were causing now real hardship. He was being salt. Just as was Justin Welby when he spoke out against payday loan companies and the crippling and unfair interest rates they were charging. And as Christians, we are called also to be light. And the thing about light is it's visible and makes other things visible, which means the light of Christian presence is there to overcome the darkness and should reflect the nature and character of Jesus, who is, of course, himself the light of the world. Those disciples who listened to Jesus' teaching in the Beatitudes had to come down the mountain to live them out. Our service this morning will end with a dismissal. And you know, the minister never says, go in peace and keep your faith to yourself. No, we're sent out, go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Basically, to be shaken out from here into the world, our community, to be salt and light, to work for God and his kingdom, and to point out where true happiness lies as we seek to live out those Beatitudes. So let us pray. And I want to end using again the collect set for today. Merciful God, you have prepared for those who love you such good things as pass our understanding. Pour into our hearts such love toward you that we, loving you in all things and above all things, may obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen.